Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own."
Great. Thank you, Ruth. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before. I normally attend the 4:15 service with my family. I also look after the 6 p.m. Service. Before I kind of pray, I'd also just like to plug a couple of things, but I feel like I need to unclutter this workstation. It's all sorts of stuff up here. Thank you for that. I don't know if you've heard about these or seen these before, but basically these are studies for years of kids in grades 8 and 7, which is all the way 7, 8 and 9. If you have kids in that space, I'd love you to kind of have a look at these and to work through these studies with your kids. They're basically about what church is all about and how to make the most of it. And on the 28th of March at 2 p.m, come along and have a chat with Sarah and myself, and we'd love to talk to you about that. Kind of the purpose of this is to help young people understand what's happening at church, to love church, and to want to be at church serving. So come talk to me afterwards. There is a parent edition, and the parent edition has answers in it. So just bear that in mind. I'm going to put that down here. I'm going to drop it, not because I don't think it's good, but just because it's in the road. The next thing I'm going to talk about is next Sunday night at 6 p.m., we're having a youth service. Now, that means that the 6 p.m. service is essentially the same, but we get some of the youth people to do some of the items in church. So someone will read the Bible, someone, if we kind of really hassle them, will pray, and we'll get some young people as well to be involved in an interview and some things like that. There'll be a barbecue afterwards. And so if you've got young people in grades 7 to 12, we'd love you to bring them along next Sunday night at 6 p.m. But here's the kicker. We want you to go to your normal service as well. So if your normal service is 10:30, go to your normal service, love your church family at your service, but then also come along at night time. And the talk, unfortunately, the talk will kind of be the same, but I'll work hard to make sure that the 6 p.m. one is a bit different than the 10:30 one. And lastly, the reason we do that is because there are a number of young people who come to youth who don't come to church at all, that they're not from Christian families, and we'd love them to make some connection with church. And so coming along to the 6 p.m. service seems like a safe place to come. We're quite friendly at 6 p.m., unlike the other services. No, I'm just joking, seeing if you're still awake. Anyway, announcements are all done. Let me pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you that we get a chance now to open up your Word. Father, we pray that as we do that, that you would work in us by your Spirit. Father, please help us not to worry. Father, please help us to be salt and light in the world. Please help us to seek your kingdom first and to know that you'll look after us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I'm not sure on your individual personalities, but I think it's fair enough to say that from time to time, we all worry. That's kind of what we do. But for some of us, worrying is something that we kind of do all the time. Worrying is kind of like a gift that we have to do 24/7. I don't know if that's you, but that's kind of me. And I remember once saying to my Bible study group that I'm a worrier. Now, I can't say that word quite correctly, and so people think I'm talking about I'm like some sort of cage fighter. I'm a worrier. But I wasn't trying to communicate that. Although my uncle Peter, who is kind of the Ancestry.com uncle, he tells me that my last name, Allery, is like a fighting clan from Ireland. But I wasn't trying to communicate that. I was trying to communicate that I worry. I worry about lots of things. I worry all the time. In fact, I wake up really early in the morning worrying. Even if I'm on holiday somewhere, like somewhere beautiful up at Tinaroo, we're about to go skiing early in the morning, I'll wake up worrying that somehow I'll do something wrong and the boat will sink and we'll all drown. Even though you can kind of swim to the side very easily and you have life jackets on and all that sort of thing, I worry. In fact, I have some form of anxiety, some version of it, and so I see a psychologist once a term just to try and stay on top of it, to kind of help me with my thinking. Maybe you're like me, or maybe you're a bit different to me, but there are lots of things to worry about in this life. I'm sure you have your own personal list of worries. Finances, relationships, family, health, comparison with others, work. The list could go on and on. Now, remember last week we saw that we are to store up treasures in heaven, not here on earth. And we can't serve two masters, even though we want to try to. We can't serve both Jesus and money. Well, if you were here last week, I wonder how you've been going at processing that. Who do you ultimately trust in to look after you and to care for you? Is it God? Or is it money? Well, today, Jesus is going to give us the antidote, the vaccine, to worrying about the things of life. He basically says, don't worry, because God will look after you. And when we stop worrying, it actually helps us to be salt and light in the world. It actually helps us to be different. Well, please have your Bibles open there if you've got one. The verses will be on the screen. But let's pick up the action from verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? This verse, it starts with a therefore, and therefore we have to ask the age-old question, what's the therefore therefore? Well, it's there because this passage actually follows on from last week. Last week, we were called not to trust in the things of this world, but to trust in God. Well, today's passage basically tells us how to do that. Jesus tells us not to worry about our life. He's saying everything that encompasses your life, that the physicalness of life, your soul, that part of you that lives on forever, every part of your life, do not worry about it. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Now, Jesus is potentially using a merism here. That's where two contrasting parts make up the whole. Don't worry about life, food and drink. Don't worry about your body, clothing. These two basic things capture the basic necessities of life. And if God cares for those things, surely he will care for all of your life. God will look after us. Now, in verse 26, Jesus calls us to step outside and to have a look at the birds. He calls us to stop and pause and reflect on how the birds are fed each day. They go back to the same kind of ground and they dig for worms, or they find bugs, or they kind of look for seed. Or if they're the kookaburra, they go for the slightly bigger worms, you know, the snakes, or for your snag on the public barbecue you might be using, or for the chicken drumstick you've just pulled off your Coles barbecue chook, they might take it right out of your hands. I've seen them do that with my father-in-law, actually. But God cares for the birds. And Jesus says, aren't we more valuable than the birds? See, remember, humans are made in God's image, and the animals are not. If God cares for the birds, of course he is going to care for his most prized part of creation, humanity. See, stopping and looking at the birds, it should remind us that our Heavenly Father will care for us. And Jesus says in verse 27, look, and if you worry, it actually won't change anything. It won't add any time to your life at all. So we need to trust God to provide for us. But he won't just provide food for us, he'll also provide clothing for us. And Jesus outlines this in verses 28 to 30. Again, Jesus is getting us to step back outside into the kind of outdoor classroom to see how God cares for his creation. He dresses the flowers of the field in beautiful ways, in elegant ways. Not even the great King Solomon could rival the flowers. And I reckon King Solomon, he was a really rich dude, right? Gold and silver were more common in the street than stones. He would have had some pretty fancy robes. I reckon he would have had a gold pair of Birkenstocks. Now, Birkenstocks are kind of the new fancy shoes that everyone who's hip are wearing. You might be a younger hip person or an older hip person, but Birkenstocks, they're where it's at. And I reckon, you know, Solomon, he would have had a legit pair of them. But the flowers of the field, they're better clothed than Solomon. And so if God cares for the grass of the field, which is kind of, you know, here today and gone tomorrow, will he not clothe his people as well? Well, of course he will. Remember, we're made in God's image. He will look after us. And Jesus kind of rounds out this section by saying, you know what, guys listening to me, his disciples, the Pharisees, the crowd, is saying, hey guys, you just need to trust that God is good and will look after you. Do not doubt him. Well, a while ago, I was reading a book called Enjoying God. Who can guess what the book's about? I'm sure you can. The title kind of gives away what it's all about. It's about enjoying your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Now, sometimes if we worry a lot or if we're anxious, it kind of takes away from life. It makes life hard to enjoy. It makes enjoying our relationship with our Heavenly Father hard to do. So I was trying to work on this by reading this book at the advice of one of my mentors. And one of the things the book kind of got you to do was at the end of each day was to stop and reflect and think about one thing. What's one thing that I can thank God for today? And so you think about your day, you think about was it the walk I had down by the river? Was it the time with my children or the time away from my children? Was it the time with my wife or my time away from her? Whatever it might have been, it might have been the steak that you had or the sunset or the animal you saw, whatever it was. Pausing and reflecting for a moment and thanking God for that good thing was meant to help you to be more thankful. And I can tell you that when you actually do this, when you commit to doing it, it does actually help you to be more thankful. And that's kind of what's going on here a little bit. Jesus is actually saying to us, take time, go outside, pause, and actually look at the birds, look at how God feeds them, and actually look at the flowers and look at how God clothes them. Actually stop and pause and think about your good creator and how he cares for creation. So the next time you get your energy bill in the mail or your rates bill, which is due tomorrow, just if you're wondering, or the next time your car breaks down and you've got to buy some expensive part of it, or you lose your phone, or you lose your keys, or you lose your wallet, or your travel plans are changed, go outside, take a few deep breaths, and reflect on how God cares for the birds, and cares for the flowers, and know that God will care for you, and look after you, and reflect on the way that God has cared for you in the past, how he's seen you through tough things in the past. God will do the same thing again. Friends, we have a good God who cares for us and wants to look after us. And when we trust him to provide for us, we can be salt and light in this world. And so instead of whinging to our neighbours about all our bills and all our worries, we can exhibit a calm trust in the Lord, even though things are going to be difficult, because we know that our Heavenly Father is going to provide for us. That's where Jesus turns next. He says, don't worry because God will look after you. And when we trust in his good provision, it actually helps us to be salt and light in the world. Well, check out what Jesus says in verses 31 and 32. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus again reminding us not to worry. He's saying that's what people do who don't have a relationship with their heavenly Father. That's what they do. They worry. They chase after the things of this world because they have nothing else. They don't know their heavenly Father. They don't know that he will provide for them. But if we trust in Jesus, we're called to not be like that. We're actually called to be different to the world. We're called to know that our good heavenly Father will provide for us. See, the way that we deal with our worry can actually help us to be salt and light in the world. As the world worries about the job seeker or keeper payments kind of ending at the end of March and all the other economic stuff that's kind of falling around about us, as everyone's worrying about that, we can calmly trust in our good God to provide for us. We can be salt and light in the world by trusting in him. And God goes on to explain what that looks like some more in verse 33, or Jesus does, I should say. It says this: but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So rather than committing our time to worrying, which doesn't actually change anything, it doesn't add any time to your life whatsoever, it probably actually takes away from your life, we're to get on with living for God. We're salt and light in the world. We're to make sure that all of our life is letting God be king. We're to live in ways that are pleasing to our God. We are to say no to sin, no to serving ourselves, and yes to kind of serving God and talking up about his son. Yes to serving him and thinking through, how can I actually serve God in more ways? How can I commit to meeting with God and his people? How can I make hard decisions in my life? So I actually prioritize meeting with God and meeting with his people. Friends, we are to seek God's kingdom first and know that God will actually look after us. And that's how we'll be salt and light in the world. That's how we'll be different to the world. Now, at this point, there might be a couple of questions going around in your head. And so I'm just going to kind of pause and ask some questions and kind of answer them. This question might be in your head. If we're not to worry and just get on with living for God, does that mean we can kind of be lazy and not work hard? Well, the simple answer is no. The passage is not saying don't work hard. It's saying don't worry. So we need to trust that God will provide for us and get on with living for him. Part of living for the kingdom is doing useful things with our hands. It's working in a way that pleases God. It's being salt and light in whatever situation you may find yourself in. Jesus saying, don't worry, doesn't mean that we can be a slacker and not do anything. That's not being salt and light in our world. Well, the next question that might be sort of going around in your head is, what about when things don't actually work out? See, sometimes birds die and they wash up on the beach and you can kind of see them when you go for a walk and they smell. Or sometimes Christians starve to death and other terrible things happen. So what's going on in those situations? Well, maybe we need to understand what Jesus is saying here. I think Jesus is primarily saying that God will care for our physical needs, but it's in the new heavens and in the new earth. Sometimes as I think about heaven, I think about us kind of floating around on the clouds and Jimi Hendrix is playing kind of table tennis with someone else. I don't know if you've seen The Simpsons, but that's how they portray heaven. That's how I think about it sometimes. But the new heavens and the new earth, they'll actually be a physical place. Listen to this description of the new heavens and the new earth from Isaiah. It's from Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 8. It says this: On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He'll swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He'll remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. The prophet Isaiah is talking about the great hope of the new heavens and the new earth. And it's a physical place. There's a great feast. There's the best wine, the best food. It's a place where death will be swallowed up. A place where there'll be no more tears. That's the hope that we have if our trust is in the Lord Jesus. It's a physical hope. So get on with living for your King, knowing that one day he'll provide for your physical needs in an abundant way. But the great news is, God will also care for us in the here and now as well. But sometimes it won't work out how we want it to, because we live in a broken, fallen world. But even in that, know that God is good. Know that he didn't spare his own son to give us salvation. Know that Jesus died on the cross in our place so that our Heavenly Father could provide abundantly for our physical needs. And know that nothing can actually separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Not trouble, not hardship, not persecution, not famine, not any of that. It can't separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus. So keep living for God, knowing that we live in a broken world. Don't worry. Know that your King, your good King, your Heavenly Father will look after you. He'll provide for you. And Jesus kind of finishes out this section in verse 34 by saying, don't worry about the future. You know, it'll deal with itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Therefore, get on with being salt and light and just do it day by day. Seek first the kingdom and know that God will look after you. Well, it can be hard seeking the kingdom first and kind of knowing that God will look after you. I remember having a conversation with Luke Doyle a couple of years ago. He did a ministry traineeship here in 2018 and 2019. And I reckon Luke Doyle would publicly say that he's the best ministry trainee we've ever had. He would clearly say that even though we've had Chris and Sarah and we've currently got Rachel and her mum would support her, that she's the best one. And the, thumbs up. And then we've also had like Joel and Liz, and I'm probably forgetting someone else as well. We've had lots of ministry trainees, and Luke would probably claim the title for himself, self-appointed. But anyway, when Luke was getting ready to go to college, as he was kind of doing his traineeship, he was doing the figures and he was doing the budget, the balance sheet. How will Liz and him and his daughter at the time, Immy, and now he's got a son called Henry, how will they actually make it through Bible college financially? You know, it's a big thing moving to a city, going there for 4 years to study, you know, the Bible, and kind of not knowing, do we actually have enough money to do this? Now, I said to Luke, you kind of need to be wise with this. You do need to kind of look at it on paper. But I also said that as you look at it on paper, it may not exactly work out. But trust God. Trust God because he actually will care for you and you will make it through. And that was my experience at Bible college, and I'm sure that's most people's experience at Bible college and in lots of other areas of life as well. See, seek first the kingdom and God will look after you and he'll care for you. And that's how we'll be salt and light in our community. But seeking first God's kingdom means that sometimes we'll actually have to make hard decisions. We'll have to risk it. But the great news is God will provide for us and care for us. So if you're in a relationship at the moment that you shouldn't be in, risk it. Get out of it and know that God will provide for you. If you're in a business situation where you're making some dodgy deals to maybe stay above board or whatever it might be, risk it. Get out of it. And know that God will look after you. Seek first his kingdom. If your life is so crazy with work as you try and climb the ladder and all the different things that your kids are doing, as sport and the extracurricular activities, if your life is so crazy that you can't actually prioritize coming to church, well, maybe then stop. Reflect. Risk it. seek first the kingdom, and God will look after you and care for you. Friends, that's what we're called to do in this life. We're called to seek God's kingdom first and be salt and light in the community. But maybe you're a bit like me. Maybe you're a warrior, not a cage fighter, but someone who can't say the word worry. But maybe what you need to do is maybe you need to get the medical help that you need. Don't be afraid to do that. Go and see your local doctor. Talk about your worry with them. Explain it to them. They'll be able to work out whether you need to go on a mental health plan. And if you do that, you might get to see a psychologist or a counsellor or someone like that. And they'll actually help you. They'll give you some techniques to work through your worry and your anxiety. It's not a silver bullet by any stretch of the imagination, but it will give you some helpful techniques. So can I encourage you to do that? But don't forget the great resources we have as God's people. We actually get to meet in small groups and large groups and remind each other of our wonderful God. It's amazing the way we can kind of feel God's love and comfort when we actually share our worries and concerns with each other. Sometimes that's all we kind of need to do is kind of go, hey, mate, can I just tell you about some things I'm worrying about? And when we talk them through and they remind us of God's provision, we're kind of like, oh, yeah, I don't really need to worry about that. And actually, it's the very thing you need to do. It helps you to move on from that. Make the most of that. Use your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. God's given them to us for that very reason. Don't forget the power of Scripture. When we read the Bible, God actually speaks to us in the Bible because it's God-breathed. He helps us to live His way. And the Bible actually reminds us of what God's like. It reminds us of His character, His love and compassion, His faithfulness. Don't forget the power of prayer. God already knows what we want before we even pray. But next week we'll see He just wants us to keep constantly praying and talking to Him because it's relational. He wants to care for us. Don't forget the power of good Christian music. Not Christian music from the 80s, which was good for no one. It's cheesy and whatever. Sorry if that's offensive to any of you and I've just ruined your favourite song of Shine Jesus Shines or something. But there's actually some good Christian music out now. I actually found out this week that City of Light, who do fantastic stuff, I thought they were English or something because they're so good, but I found out they're Australian. It blew me away. I think Australians, we couldn't do such a good thing, but we turns out we can. But Christian music, good Christian music, can actually help us to live God's ways. It reminds us of God's character, actually speaks to our soul and helps us to keep living for Him. Well, friends, we live in a world that's a bit of a mess. And there is lots to worry about, but know that God will provide for you, that He'll care for you. I've been thinking about this a lot this week, and it's amazing the amount of people that talk to you about what they're worrying about. I was going to, on Thursday afternoon, I think it was, to pick up my daughter from school and my son, and the lollipop lady, as we're kind of waiting for the light to go green, or the walk light to go green, she just downloaded everything that was wrong with lollipopping, and I was like, oh my goodness. Light, please come green, please come green. I said, get me out of here. But anyway, I was trying to be polite and listen to her, all her concerns about the worry. I won't use the word she used. You have to kind of put some senses across it, but it was full on. And then I was talking to some other people. I was talking Breakfast Club about their worries and concerns. The world is worrying about lots and lots of stuff. But we have a wonderful opportunity as God's people to know that God provides for us, to seek first His kingdom and to be a wonderful light in the world. But unfortunately, as Christians, and I'm talking about myself so much as part of this, is often we don't do a very good job of that because we're so concerned with the world stuff that we actually worry just like everyone else, and we forget that our good Father will actually provide for us and care for us. So can I encourage you to seek God's kingdom first, to know that He'll look after you, and that way we'll have a great opportunity to be salt and light in the world. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You so much that You speak to us in it. Father, please help us not to worry. Please help us to bring our worries and concerns before You. Father, help us to know that You care for the birds, You care for the flowers. Help us know that You'll care for us. Father, please help us to seek first Your kingdom and to know that You'll look after us. You'll care for us. And we have a great hope of being with You in that wonderful physical place of the new heavens and new earth where You'll provide for us abundantly. Father, help us to keep trusting You now in this world. Help us know that You're good. Father, help us to be a light to the world as we trust in Your good provision. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond to God's word by singing a good Christian song written by